What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckles Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by our motherfucking self. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my God. Fight of the century. What a treat. Anybody that's even hating on that fight in any way needs to go home. What an exciting, heart-pumping, legendary battle. And strategically, how the two guys adjusted in the ring to the other guy's strategy was so beautiful. And the boxing was beautiful. Takedown attempts were beautiful. Just the strategy overall, so beautiful. We saw one fighter who totally looked like a different man, got rid of a movement coach, totally became better in the striking department, though he's one of the best before, became better without, you know, went through pressure situations and clearly trained every Nate Diaz attack, trained for the clinch on the fence, trained for everything, trained for the takedown, 5 takedown defenses, and I believe 3 to 5 knock. This man was a different fighter tonight. Conor McGregor deserved that decision. But Nate Diaz is one of the toughest fighters of all time. Not only did he take an epic beating in the first 2 rounds, but he came back and almost finished the fight. God, to get into it all, I got my boy. We're back, Bloody Knuckles Show. It's Mr. Percy Love. We're going to get right into it. Me and him, huge McGregor fans, not going to lie, but I am not being biased here. He is not being biased, and we're here to break down one of the fights of the century. It's my boy, Percy Love, Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Too excited to be back, Ryan, too excited. What we just witnessed was simply amazing, and no, I'm not being biased on this. For everyone there shitting on the decision, Nate did not get that fight stolen from him. Conor clearly won rounds 1, 2, and 4. However, going to touch on 2, I am a huge McGregor fan, but if it was a bad decision, I would admit it, and I'd say, whatever, fuck you guys, he still won. You know what I mean? I'd laugh it off, be like, yeah. He stole that one, but I'm not. It was an epic fight, Ryan, and the highs and lows of this fight were just insane. And one side note, I will say how entertaining this fight was, Ryan. I was watching this fight with 2 of my friends. A girl was there who does not care for mixed martial arts at all. She dislikes it. She always disses it. She's one of those fans whenever she's watching, like, it's like gang facts. You know what I'm talking about, Ryan?
Yeah.
And she could not take her eyes off the screen of the TV. She was in awe. She loved
it. It was a war, not a fight. That's why.
It's about time that one of these fights that was billed as the fight of the century lived up to it, man.
And the key is Conor McGregor. Nate Diaz, I'm not taking credit away from him. But this is what Dana White needs to get through his thick skull. It's the Conor McGregor show. He always brings something special. And tonight, he brought something special again. Yes, did he almost lose? He did, but the domination he displayed and the way that he changed his skill set and his body and the way he survived not only showed how good he is with a skill set, but also showed his heart. And, Andrew, not one, I've looked at like 10 of them, not one MMA site had Nate winning. All these people on Twitter are clearly just Conor McGregor haters. There's no way. I mean, I think the first round was 10-8, but anybody with a brain could see that that fight was 3 rounds to 2. And if there's any controversy, you can maybe say it was a draw, but I don't see how you say that because Conor clearly won the second round despite Nate, you know, rocking him at the end of the round. He had 2 knockdowns in that round.
Exactly.
He had 5 knockdowns to start the fight. He also defended 5 takedowns. He showed every skill. And the way that he defended Nate in the clinch. Like, he definitely worked that. And Nate, like, he outstruck Nate so bad. I've never seen somebody, when he had energy, display such great counter boxing in mixed martial arts. It looked like a damn video game. He was landing at will on Nate, patient, hitting Nate with that leg kick, which is the way to beat the Diazes. He did kind of that Carlos Condit game plan on Nate, but he did it in a way where it was so exciting. And Nate, goddamn, I mean, you can hit that guy with a truck and he'll keep coming. No 145-pounder in the world could go up to 170 and go through that fight with Nate Diaz and win.
No.
And no, like, basically nobody, I can't see a lot of fighters taking the shots that Conor landed in that first and second round. There's a reason why he was gassing out, because every shot he landed on Nate Diaz was a knockout blow if he was fighting another fighter. I think Conor McGregor is back, Andrew, and he's training. Clearly, the improvement in his game, the takedown defense, the, you know, just everything, just showed how much he trained for this fight. He was in great shape, and I hate the fact that Nate Diaz made excuses after the fight.
Yeah.
Just take the loss and go for the third fight. Nate Diaz knows, with all the mocking going into the fight, saying Conor McGregor's a punk, he was so cocky. He should have gave Conor McGregor credit on his boxing ability, because he outboxed Nate Diaz nasty. The only way Nate competed was getting Conor against the fence because he was the bigger man.
Yeah, I mean, Nate didn't even train, and shame on you, Nate, for saying, like,
he trained
after the fight.
That's
he should have. But when he said he should have finished me, my response was, no, Nate, you should have finished him. You had
exactly.
him in the ropes in round three. You had him on the ropes at the end of round two, and guess what? You didn't get it done. Then Conor kept hitting your face, and you started leaking like your shitty faucet, and you couldn't see, and then Conor picked you apart in round four. And for all the haters out there who say, because I remember when I was going to decisions, it was close. I was wondering. But then I remember, Ryan, I completely forgot about the knockdowns that Conor had in round two.
Big. And Nate dropped down almost on purpose, it seemed
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he was trying to go to him. And
hurt.
Ryan, interesting part, you know, when I was watching that, I was thinking, was Nate trying to goad him into going to the ground so he can try and submit
He's
him?
He's trying to goad him into a brawl.
Conor. But, yo, if Nate did that and those knockdowns are why I lost the fight, that would be really funny.
Oh, no.
But,
he clearly, like, he was hurt. But, like, the second one or the third
gone.
One was intentional because I think
yeah.
he was so hurt. The first
yeah.
one, maybe it wasn't. But I think Nate was almost about to get knocked out right there. And he really wanted to get Conor on the ground. And we got to give Conor McGregor credit because Nate
yeah.
Diaz is a submission master. And Conor McGregor did not let, even when he was tired, would not let Nate Diaz get him on the ground. Even at the end of the fight when he did, both of them got a takedown. Let's not forget that. But Nate got him on the ground. Conor wrapped him up, didn't give him a chance. You know, it was just a brilliant, the takedown defenses were just brilliant that Conor displayed. And, Andrew, have you ever seen anybody outbox Nate Diaz like that with counter-punching in the first two rounds? It was even in the third, fourth, and fifth, when they were off of the cage, Conor was landing and just outboxing the guy who says he trains with Andre Ward every day and he's the best boxer in the UFC. Have you ever seen anyone just beat the Stockton Flack like that?
No. No, Conor was landing at will, just that beautiful slip and rip. And not only was he landing it well, Ryan, he made it look extremely easy. It was money all day long. Nate didn't have a response. The only reason that Nate came back was because Conor got a little bit tired. But just his
and
ability to come back and his ability, though, to come back in round four, this was a man who could not afford to lose if he wanted to continue with, you know, the things that people were saying about him, that he is the greatest. You know what I mean? He could not afford to lose this fight if he wanted to stay at the level that he was at in the stardom, in the sport, you know, being the greatest ever. He had to come back and win this fight. He had to answer the call he did. And in round four, Ryan, that was just the look of a man on a mission, determined, with nothing to lose. Now, I got to ask you this question, Ryan.
And real quick, Andrew, that round four, because Nate had all the momentum, the blood getting into his eyes, and I love the fact the referee, you know, Big John, I think he should have broke him up a few times, but the fact that he didn't give Nate or Conor a rest to get the blood out of Nate's eyes could have changed the fight, because Nate was coming, and he gave Conor a rest because he got blinded by all that blood in his eyes. And Conor, I give him credit because he was throwing those big elbows on the inside, and he just had brilliant defense late in the fight in that, because he was getting so hurt when they first started clinching up, and then McGregor just showed that, because that's how he finished him last time. He got him down with those punches. He showed that he's been training that, and I don't know. I just don't see how – I see Conor being able to win that 155-pound strap. I think he easily beats Eddie Alvarez. I don't know how many 155-pounders can take the amount of strikes that Conor, or the boxing and the abilities of Conor, is takedown defense. I don't know who at 155 could really defeat Conor McGregor other than maybe Nate Diaz.
Yeah, dude, and Conor's got a hell of a chin, too. But Ryan,
oh, yeah,
you know, he ate a lot of shots, too. Who's going to knock him out? But the question I did want to ask you, you know, as a Conor fan, it was funny. This fight in the beginning played out very eerie. It was very eerie because it was very similar to the first fight.
I was talking shit, so much shit.
Because round one, first of all, first thing I noticed was the game plan.
Round one was 10-8. It was definitely a 10-8 round.
Beautiful 10-8, yeah. I'd have to rewatch it, but it was definitely pure dominance. Those leg kicks, picking him apart, hitting him with the left, the slip and rip, just completely
He knocked him
dominated.
Down three or four times in that
and,
round.
Yeah, and he knocked him down a couple times. He was dominating. Now, Ryan, end of round two, I want to say it was the half-minute mark. You're not
oh,
a little bit
so
over
scared.
Half-minute. Maybe about 2 minutes.
I almost cried.
I don't know. Maybe you just have to punch Nate 30 times to wake him up and get him ready for the fight. But
oh, yeah.
Out of nowhere, he was weakening. It just came out. Conor started to slow down. I think Nate was purposely kind of, you know,
Nate got a
waiting.
Stationary Conor against
yeah.
the fence.
Nate was just
Go
waiting,
ahead.
Though. He was waiting to see him start to slow down. It happened.
Oh, yeah.
Nate started pouring it on. Now, I thought Conor surviving to round three was, you know what I mean, that was to give him, you know, let him recoup for a second. But what was
yeah.
going through your head when, you know, we were in the same boat we were in fight one, except Conor probably had a lot more energy than, you know, when they first, you know, he was ready for it. He was ready for it, this fight. So what was going through your head, you know, when that was happening? And how do you think Conor trained for that moment in this fight? Because you had to think he knew it was going to happen again. At some point, he was going to be in a similar situation. How did he survive? How did he, like, you know, what happened?
Yeah, I thought it was clearly over at that point because I didn't think Conor would make it five rounds. No way. He was so dead energy-wise
yeah.
because every punch he landed was so powerful. It would have knocked almost any other fighter out. Those first-round strikes, those second-round strikes, he was throwing with so much power and so many great combinations. He wasn't wasting he fired that stupid movement coach, and he wasn't wasting
that
energy with all that movement he used to play with. And the fact that, you know, he was just calling his jab out and then counter-striking. When it first happened, the first time Nate got him against the fence and almost knocked him out, I thought it was over. But as the fight went on, I realized that Conor, one, displayed so much heart that I did not know. You know, he should have thought
yeah.
how much heart he has. And Nate, everyone knows how much heart he has. But Conor showed his ability to not only give out a beating, but take a beating, get through the beating, and then successfully win a round. Or basically, he was so poised in moments where he was getting hurt. When Nate almost knocked
yeah.
him out, he still was able to avoid punches, and the
yeah.
way he was clinching up and Nate was landing punch after punch and Nate was so relentless, Conor never panicked. And I think that was crazy to me because I've never seen a fight where a guy is that hurt, that tired, and he doesn't panic. And throughout, when it got late into the fight, I was screaming, "Don't get on the cage, Conor, don't." But Nate is just too big. He was getting into the cage. That was the only way Nate was able to land strikes. Because in the open, he could land his jab in the open octagon,
yeah.
but he knew that that was the way after the initial, you know, combo he landed.
That head movement.
That yeah, the head movement.
Movement.
And at one point during the Floyd Mayweather, I forget what his defense is called, but Conor's defense he displayed was amazing. So throughout the fight, I started to get confident because I felt – at one point, I did think John McCarthy was close to stepping in with 10 seconds left. he would have done that, it would have been tragic in the second or third round, I'm trying to think. But, you know, Conor did have to get saved by the bell twice. But the fact that people are saying Nate Diaz landed two more significant strikes is just a joke.
Did you see their faces?
Because that's what the stat is they have out there. Now, on no site did I see Conor McGregor losing on the scorecard. But in significant strikes, which the UFC keeps track of, Conor McGregor landed 164 and Nate Diaz landed 166. I am sorry, but Conor McGregor just landed so many more significant strikes to me, strikes that did damage, elbows in the clinch that busted Nate open. Just look at the faces and the amount of damage they took. I did not get the counting on the significant strikes. Like, Nate had a lot of punches that were not significant to me at all. He did not have a lot of power punches. And I think that's just a flawed stat that people are trying to use now. Conor just displayed heart, man. And I really think Nate, all the shit talking he did about, he really thought he was going to have an easy time. He should have said, Conor really showed me a lot in this fight, and I want to fight him again. Shouldn't have made excuses. I think that really turned me off a lot from Nate Diaz. It's just something Diaz brothers
underestimated him.
Oh, clearly. And the whole not training, I think, is bullshit. Nate is always in shape. That training camp will never let you not train. They train when they're not fighting. Nick is still training every day, no doubt. They do triathlons. I think that every interview I saw, he did not respect Conor McGregor's skills. And Conor showed that when he had the gas tank in the first two rounds, he can outbox Nate Diaz, which is a huge thing to say. That is crazy. Conor's boxing ability is some of the best I've ever seen in mixed martial arts. And just his heart, his chin, I just don't see a lot of fighters that would have lasted in that fight with Conor McGregor. And Nate Diaz, there's a reason why GSP said Nick Diaz was his hardest fight ever. The Diaz brothers never stop going forward and pressuring you. So the fact that Conor McGregor was able to get through that fight and win a decision, it's kind of scary to think about a third fight, but if it's at 155, I do think the weight really affected McGregor, and I think at 155 he's going to be in better shape and Nate won't be so heavy. And I think Conor might be able to knock him out at a lower weight.
Yeah, so I
was panicking at one point, and then I realized I thought Conor has this, but I was worried about the judges.
Yeah, I agree. I will say this, you know, I do have to admit, it's hard for me to see Conor lose a decision in a close fight, but I'm not making an excuse. Like, watch the fight again and look at how UFC fights are scored. This is not pride.
Clearly 1-3-2. Clearly.
Yeah, this is not pride. You know, they are scored round by round. We've had this debate a bunch of times. But these weren't pride rules. They're UFC. You know, it is what it is. And you know what, Ryan? Something else you brought up. Conor was very gracious in his defeat, you know, to Nate Diaz. In
yes,
fight one.
And Nate was.
He could have made a ton of excuses, Ryan. He took the fight on 2 weeks' notice. He switched opponent. He went up two weight classes when he thought he was fighting at 155. You know what I mean? He could have made a world of excuses. And he could have made excuses that had more of a point, you know, or had more merit, I should say, than Diaz. You know what I mean?
There's no excuses in this fight.
So I will all say this, though. You know, Nate, shame on you. You better take him seriously. And I want to see round three, and I don't want to hear trash talking or your excuses. And everything came full circle in this fight, Ryan. As you noticed, remember, it may have been round three, two or three, you know, Conor was circling. He did that little, you know, runaway. Nate Diaz flipped him off and stuff. And then we saw Nate do it in round four, and I thought that was just hilarious. Nate was, like, mocking him and stuff. And what a job, Ryan, by Conor. He showed how mentally prepared and locked in he was. Nate was trying to get
so
his head, goad him into a brawl. And, you know, that's, I feel like, is the only way Nate is beating Conor, because he's the bigger guy. He can take a lot of shots, eventually maybe get the takedown, you know, goad him into a heavy exchange like last time, then, you know, go for the takedown or whatever. And Conor was not falling for it. did not buy it, stayed with his game plan, and it was an exciting
Andrew, the biggest thing, though, is what if Nate Diaz pushes Conor McGregor against the fence starting out in round one? He discovered that game plan halfway through. And the rest of the fight, he realized, oh, I'm going to be – this
fight.
Is my game plan now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to basically dirty box against the fence until I can get a combo off. And he was able to get Conor against the fence at will. In the third fight, maybe the weight would be the difference, but that is what I'm worried about.
Conor's
going to
be ready for it.
He would do that because of his cockiness. Like, he would try to outstrike McGregor again. But if he does that the entire fight, which maybe he can't do it against a full energy McGregor, maybe that's the difference. But when it gets to the third and fourth round, that's going to be Nate's game plan. And I see this just being – it's a very risky third fight. Do you think Conor should fight for – well, first let me just say this real quick, Andrew. I've seen so many people saying this, professionals. Conor should go back to 145 and defend his belt. No, he should not. First off, we just saw one of the best fights ever, and they could fight again. And secondly, look how big that man is. He cannot make 145 anymore, especially with the new rules. It's just completely idiotic to say he needs to go back down to 145. He needs to leave that title alone. Andrew, do you think he should wait on the trilogy and try to fight Eddie Alvarez for the 155-pound title?
Conor should move on from 145. As much as I would love to see, you know, him knock out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds again.
He can't make 145.
He should move down. Or he should, if anything, move down to 155. All right.
He's a
155-pounder now. I think we do the trilogy, though, next. Ryan, strike when the iron's hot. This was a huge fight. Nate should want it again. He just made $2 million. Wait. What? Nate Diaz, yes, folks, made $2 million. Which
and put it in
world,
Madison Square Garden.
In the fight world, Ryan? Yeah, that would be sick. But in the fight world, Ryan, $2 million is equal to, you know.
McGregor has made Nate Diaz a rich man. He was making $20,000 before he fought Conor.
Conor McGregor made Nate Diaz's career. $2 million to a fighter is like a $200 million contract, $300 million.
Nate had a great career, but Conor woke him back up.
He did. And, you know, in financial standpoint, one fight, $2 million, is like a one-year, you know, $70 million for like a freaking basketball player, NBA player, or a football player. It's insane. But, Ryan, you got to think about this fight. It lives.
How do you feel about Eddie Alvarez, though, real quick, before you
take
your point?
I forgot. I'm sorry. Eddie Alvarez, I'd wait on it.
Like Conor trying to get the lightweight belt.
That I would like to see Conor do it. Move down, you know, relinquish the 145 belt. Don't even think about it anymore. You know, before you fight Eddie Alvarez, though, I would love to have the Southern Nate Diaz fight. Strike when the iron's hot. What's Nate going to do, too? Is he going to sit out? You risk both
I think
sides
Nate
losing.
And Conor can beat Eddie Alvarez.
I do, too. I really do, too. And you
I think
risk
that
both
should be a number one contender
losing.
Fight.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be. You know, Ryan, I think, you know, it's probably going to be for the Bloody Knuckles show belt. I'm sorry, but that's for the best, you know, 155-pounder in the UFC, in my
and
opinion.
And Conor immediately offered the rematch, the third fight, which is very classy of him. He could have said, I'm done with Nate Diaz.
And Ryan, you know what else that showed me? Conor's a smart dude. He saw all the money he raked in. Why didn't he go fight Eddie Alvarez?
But don't you think
Jose
Conor
Aldo?
Makes money no matter what? It's the McGregor show.
Yeah, but this one.
Or do you think Diaz heightens it?
Diaz definitely heightens it. Conor's going to make money
man.
No matter
what. I said this was the best personality clash ever.
Yeah.
Like the two personalities when they walked out. I just think it's the best pairing of fighters ever. The way that their teams fight, what they've been through, the way that they fight each other. And it's not a given that Conor can beat Nate, like in the third fight. And the UFC right now cannot afford, I said tonight, they cannot afford Conor McGregor losing, and they came close tonight. They need their cash machine because they're losing a lot of the other stars.
I will agree with that, Ryan. And also, you know, going on to that, going on further, how think about how big Connor is, you know, for the UFC in general and how desperately they needed this. I mean, Connor's going to make money no matter what. But this is just too epic. It's one of the greatest things we've ever saw. And Ryan, who would have thought that Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, would be a bigger, better fight than Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo? That was supposed to be the fight of the century. And, I mean, Jose Aldo just, he can't even, he's not in the same, let's face it, he's not in the same realm as Conor. He's like four levels under him. You know what I mean?
Leave Jose Aldo down there at 145 and let him hold his nuts. He does not deserve to fight McGregor again.
No.
And if he wants to fight McGregor, tell him to come up to 155.
Exactly.
Clear as day. I think McGregor should be trying to beat Nate, and then he should be going after the 155-pound title. His body could not make 145. It's just detrimental to him. The people that are saying it, everybody on the UFC set said it. I think they're just absurd. It's stupid to even say that. Just look at his body tonight, the transformation he would have to make.
He looked good.
I just
it
think
was the
that.
The first time I saw him, he looked like, you know what I mean? When you saw him in the weigh-ins, he looked so, like, you know what I mean? And you see him now, he looks comfortable. He looks ready to go. You know what I mean? He looks healthy.
Yeah.
He's not trying to kill himself to get to a weight. And let's keep it 100, Ryan. It's not like he has to make this cut. He's good enough to be the champ at 155. Hell, maybe even 170. He does not need to make this cut. You know what I mean?
Do you think Nate is dangerous enough? Do you think Nate's dangerous enough to where basically, like, having the third fight, you don't want Connor to lose, so maybe you throw him against Eddie Alvarez and have Nate wait and make it a title fight, even though it seems like these guys are fighting for their own title, but I guess it is true. You said the iron is so hot right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's very dangerous. We cannot afford Conor McGregor to lose the third fight to Nate Diaz. Though Nate, you know, is a star. The UFC needs Conor McGregor so badly.
He's not like a prospect who never fought anyone. You know, it's funny, Ryan. Right before we did the broadcast of the show, I was watching the post fight on 400. I saw Dana answer one question, and it was what
there's no post
fight
press conference.
First of all, Dana, maybe he's afraid to have it. That is interesting. But, Ryan,
they shut it down. What a big mistake by the UFC that was.
I think he was afraid. I honestly, with the way Nate was acting, I think he was afraid they were going to get into something. But Dana White
came off like an idiot throughout this whole process.
Why are you going to sue Dana? Yeah. I said, I'm saying is like, why are you going to sue him over that? That bill, because Dana's like, oh, yeah, lawyers are going to get involved over that. Dana, that's
Andrew, imagine if this was the main event of UFC 200 like it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
How much bigger the sport would be right now.
No, this card was better than UFC 200. The fights were even better.
Oh, this was one of the best cards ever. All stoppages.
And Ryan,
but just imagine, instead of Amanda Nunes or whatever as the main event of UFC 200, you have that brawl because all the eyes were on UFC 200, and the UFC lost a lot of fans in that event. Imagine if the McGregor show
that
was there.
Dana
White needs to realize what he has and who else he has because McGregor is his only true star left.
But Ryan, I'm going to ask you. I got a two-parter. One thing I want to say, I saw Dana get questioned. The one question they asked him was the only one that I started the broadcast. They asked him, what's Conor going to do next? First of all, Dana looked like he aged 10 years during that fight.
Yeah.
He was so stressed. I don't think he wanted Conor to lose. And right away, Dana seemed very salty.
I think he did want Conor to lose. I think he's salty.
He may have, but you could definitely tell there's been a rift in between the two. Because before, he used to be all buddy-buddy with him. Now he's kind of pissed because Conor realizes, you know, his pull and his power. Dana, right away, you could tell he was salty about it, too. He's like, he needs to go back and defend his belt. That's what I would do. Like, kind of making him seem like, what's this guy thinking? You have a belt. Why aren't you going to defend it? And I think it might be because he's afraid to lose or, you know, they're in their ranking stuff. Ryan, let me ask you this. Because, you know, the UFC needs to change. It needs a spark back. Instead of matching up fighters on rankings, should they bring it back and do styles and excitement? And then, you know what I mean? Instead of climbing the ladder board, you know,
I was Donald Cerrone fighting Rick Story.
Donald needed a win. Dana threw him a bone, and goddamn, that was a brutal
knockout. No, he had two straight wins. Patrick Cote. He should have gave him a brawler.
Yeah.
But still, it was a good knockout. But
do you think they need to start matching up fighters for excitement or ranking? Because they need to switch up. Because outside of Conor, it's gone stale. Well, no, there's a couple other good ones, but it's mostly stale.
It's gone so stale, I barely follow it right now. And that's pretty sad because I was a fanatic not too long ago. And this pay-per-view, I actually bought this pay-per-view. Let me just throw this in real quick, Andrew. Joe Rogan was so biased towards Nate Diaz, and I feel like he's such a good friend of Dana White. It's almost like he's pulling for the guy Dana is. And I think Dana really wanted basically McGregor to lose and get shut down. I think Dana's jealous, and if Conor McGregor went to the new owners of the UFC and said, I won't fight again unless you replace Dana White. What does the UFC, the new owners that spent $4 billion, do? Sorry for that. Let me get that two-part question real quick one more time. I know it was
the first one.
The matching of fighters.
It was matchmaking, yeah.
Yes, sir. I think they should definitely fire both matchmakers. I think they're horrible. Joe Silva has been in it since the beginning. He does 170 and above. He's just a horrible matchmaker. Tyrone Woodley, Robbie Lawler. You had one of the most exciting champions ever, and you put him against – I know he knocked Robbie out, but – Tyrone Woodley, you should have had Stephen Thompson fight Robbie Lawler. He was ready, and it would have been such an exciting fight. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Go for excitement, like Bellator and Born Revenue, or not Born Revenue. I forgot about that guy. But Scott Coker does. I think the UFC would be better off with a guy like Scott Coker because he makes matchups like Nick Diaz, Paul Daly, Nick Diaz, Cyborg. He does so much with his talent, and I don't think you should restrict it to the weight classes. Like when Dan Henderson fought Fedor, like why can't Rumble jump up to heavyweight every once in a while and fight a heavyweight? It has to be so formal. It makes it boring. Like Conor and Nate fighting at 170 is the way to do it. Like I think fighters should jump around in weight and find a weight that they like. Like Rumble being at heavyweight a few fights, fighting his nemesis Overeem or something like that. It would be exciting. Put that on Fox. Like
Overeem,
stop sticking to the exact weight classes. 155 pounders should jump up to 170 more and fight some 170 pounders. But yes, we should be matching this up by this guy brawls, this guy brawls. Let's make it happen. This guy's a young, exciting prospect. This guy's a young, exciting prospect. Let's have these prospects fight. And we should be building stars through excitement, not victories and rankings. That's too much like boxing, and we've seen how boxing is not entertaining anymore. The UFC has become way too formal with their Reebok and all their rankings and all this. Have fun. Look what Pride used to do. Like, Dan Henderson would go up to heavyweight. He would fight Little Nog at 205. He would fight at 185. Let's bring back tournaments. Like, I think the UFC has become way too stale, and I'm hoping the new owners are going to make changes. Let's have a 155-pound tournament. I mean, freaking Eddie Alvarez is the champion. Let's have a number one contender at 185 tournament. And I think the UFC has done a couple things right. Having Dan Henderson fight for the title, I think, is great. Having Stephen Thompson fight for the next title, but I think he should have got it before, is great, but you
better start.
Having Cody Garbrandt already fight Dominic Cruz is a mistake because that kid could be a young star. So they did it right with McGregor. They need to do it right with some other people. The chick that was on Dancing with the Stars is a perfect example. She got pushed way too hard, way too fast.
Yeah, and Ryan, we do have to quick touch on it because I'll be honest with you. I only watched the final three fights.
One of the best cards ever.
I did not watch the first two fights. They were great. But
I got to ask you this. It was such 15 seconds. Rumble Jolly. We all knew Rumble was going to win.
I loved it, but I was disappointed.
Ryan, I missed the KO. I saw him introducing him. I went to throw a shirt in my hamper. I walked back, and I saw Rumble celebrating, and I thought, like, he was still, like, fired up, you know, getting ready to go. Then he ran and jumped on top of the fence, and I was like, wait a second, turned up the volume, and they're like, we can't believe it, it's already over. And I was like, oh, my God. And I saw the replay. What a devastating uppercut.
That's the kind of fight they should be making.
Let me ask you this, though. The cupboard at 205 is really bare. I mean, of course, Rumble is going to fight DC. I feel like that's the only fight they have left at 205.
Yeah.
First of all, what are your thoughts on Rumble, Ryan? You know, him coming out with that great victory. What are your thoughts on Glover? What's next for Rumble? And what they need to do something about the 205 division. What are your thoughts about 205?
This fight seems so insignificant now. But this is one of those matches I like because you knew it was going to be a head-on collision. And Rumble is one of the most entertaining guys in the sport. And Glover just came forward too fast. He made that one mistake you can't make against Rumble. And it was a beautiful uppercut, beautiful knockout. I wish the fight went a little bit longer because there were so many stoppages. Sometimes you complain there's so many stoppages. But I really wanted to see these guys get into it. Make it through the first round. But I don't think Glover will ever be the same again. Him winning might have been, I don't know, Rumble just seems like more of a star, but that kind of knocks another guy out at 205. Clearly the UFC needs to go poaching some 205ers. The Ultimate Fighter is not going to get it done. Realistically, they need to start bringing some 185ers up to 205. They need to bring some heavyweights down, pay them more to cut weight, do something, and maybe have a tournament or something at 205 to basically build new stars throughout it. Maybe F Division to have your first new Grand Prix or tournament and bring down some heavyweights, bring up some middleweights. Because, like I was saying, where you don't just stay at one division, because I think Luke Rockhold or Chris Weidman could bring some excitement to the division every once in a while coming up, because I can't see Ryan Bader fight again or Glover. I'm getting sick of him. Like Rumble fighting Cormier again, that's all they have, and that's embarrassing from the UFC standpoint. And they're just getting stale in certain divisions. I mean, Stipe Miocic, as much as I like Overeem, it just does not excite me, that fight. I'm sorry. Stipe, the heavyweight division, is not exciting. Look at boxing. You know, boxing's heavyweight division is pretty much back. I don't know. I just feel like Rumble is such a threat. He's so fun to watch that it will be entertaining to see him fight Daniel Cormier. But maybe Daniel Cormier is the problem because he's a boring champion.
We know what's going to happen. You
know, maybe this division needs John Jones back. But John Jones doesn't deserve to come back.
No, I'm not even going to mention John Jones. I'm sorry.
But if Rumble loses, then we never get to see Jones Rumble, which is like the one guy that might be able to beat Jones with a knockout.
And, Ryan, you know what sucks? There's only three fighters at 205, DC, Gustafson, and Rumble. We've already seen DC beat them
and
both.
And Glover's all right, but he got his bricks knocked off.
Yeah, but Glover even...
He's not great.
You know what I mean? Like, is he ever going to...
And they let Phil Davis walk.
That was a huge mistake. And that tells you how barren the covers are, if letting Phil Davis walk was a huge mistake. Ryan, again, let me ask you, because I got to touch on it again, you know, the fight of the century. What is a fight with this type of buildup that you can kind of compare it to? Because I'm going through my head right now. This might have been the fight of a decade.
You would have to go to boxing, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. What
Sugar Ray Leonard versus... but even they didn't have the personality that McGregor Diaz had. But Duran, you know, he was a little menacing guy. Sugar Ray Leonard, I would have to say, you know, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, but it wasn't as entertaining. I'm not sure, you know, if you were a huge Tyson fan, how you were feeling throughout that fight. You know, there's fights like, I don't know, it's hard to find two personalities like this that are just so fun to watch, and a fight that has you on the edge of the seat, because there's so many times it looks like it might be over.
Yeah.
This could honestly, Andrew, be the greatest UFC fight of all time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think right now off the top of my head.
Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner was great.
Yeah.
Still,
it didn't have this type of build-up, too.
No,
I mean,
not even close. The Liddell Couture trilogy, and I would say rivalry-wise, Liddell Ortiz, but the fights were never that great. It was Liddell dominating. Fedor Prokop. I think it was as exciting, and it was in Japan.
The only thing I can think of for excitement-wise, is maybe Ray Maynard, Frankie Edgar, but the person.
Chael,
you know,
versus
I mean.
The Spider won, but it wasn't as exciting.
Yeah, and it didn't
personality-wise.
I don't think we've seen anything like this before. I think we just witnessed history, you know. When you think back to the greatest fights of the UFC,
McGregor Aldo, but fight didn't live up to it.
Yeah, it is. And Ryan, can you see any? There's no 145er that can A, take the shots that Nate took, and B, you know, deliver the shots that Nate took, and it didn't even knock out Connor. Like, who can
do that? No, there's a reason why Connor knocks everyone out at 145.
There's no point for Connor to go back to 145 in my
opinion. I think 155 is perfect for him.
Yeah.
His body fits right there, and then he's not so outweighed. You know, Nate's going to have a bad weight cut. Connor will be more comfortable. And he seemed to succeed in his career in Britain when he was at 155. And I just feel like there's a lot of good matchups at that division. I know Eddie Alvarez can wrestle, but right now, if Conor wants to make history, I mean, getting that lightweight belt, I think Eddie Alvarez is one of the easier matchups. It's a guy that might brawl with Conor. I mean, it could be a really exciting fight, and a guy who's going to talk with Conor a little bit, you know. So I think 155 is the division. There's just Cowboy Cerrone maybe in the future. You know, there's just a lot of personalities, and I think that 170 is too big for him.
2 minutes left. What are some of the fights that fight at 155?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
You'd like to see.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
Like a minute left. 2 minutes left. What are some of the matchups you want to see at 155 for Conor?
I want to see Conor Eddie Alvarez in the future for sure. If Eddie still has the belt, Conor Cowboy. There's been so much bad blood there. I would definitely love to see Nate back at 155 fighting for the title maybe against Eddie. But Nate doesn't seem interested to fight anybody else. You know, I would love to see Rumble Jones just because of the knockout power. For going straight Conor, you know, I think 155, a rematch with Aldo just to shut Aldo up, but it has to be at 155. Let Aldo get his redemption or try to. And I think that fight could turn out to be really exciting just the way both guys can strike. I think Conor would eventually knock him out. But I think Conor can just really knock out a lot of people at 155. Not a lot of guys in that division are going to take what Nate Diaz is able to take. But there are guys that can finish Conor McGregor with more power than Nate Diaz, like Cowboy Cerrone. But Conor has a tough chin. So, you know, there's just so many great matchups at 155. Even Dos Anjos, that's the one fight I don't want to see Conor take just because of Dos Anjos' style. But Conor, you know, one day he could even go to freaking Bellator.